Welcome to Crime and Wine. I'm Pamela Fagan Hutchins, your host, and this is the show where I talk with other crime fiction writers about the stories of thrills and suspense that will leave you mystified, sometimes horrified, and always wanting more. Please join me in welcoming today's special guest. Well, hello out there, you guys. I am apologizing in advance that my head looks a little funny, but I am in Galveston visiting my daughter and her two little bitty kids and their daddy, and it is crazy in this house. They've locked me in their bedroom for a little piece, and I blurred my background, so I'm going to try to hold really still so you can see me. I am super excited, though, to welcome a guest whose book I've been reading up until the second that this show started because she's that good. And so with no further ado, I would like to welcome mystery author Karen Walker, a.k.a. KC Walker. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am good. It's so good to have you on the show. We've been kind of getting to know each other from a distance for a while, and it's wonderful to have a face to go with your name and your wonderful writing.
Thank you. It really is.
And I was telling you ahead of time that you guys, what I really love about Karen, and right now I'm reading her Arrow Investigations mysteries, is she's super voicey. And you guys know I'm a sucker for voice. She's super voicey. She's super funny and super original. So let's talk a little bit about Wit and Kit and the Arrow Investigation series and how, what they're about and how that came to be for you.
Okay. Well, I realized that there are books like Stephanie Plum, Janet Vonovich, and Janet DeLeon, Misfortune Stories.
Yeah. Yes.
People just cannot get enough. Like, they can't write them fast enough. And I'm like, we need more books like that. Just books that are just fun and escapism. And they're real life, but kind of at the extremes, you know, where just crazy things happen and the characters are over the top kind of. So that's what I set about to write.
I think that we thirst for that, right? For that escapism, for something to make us laugh and suspend reality, where it's like that could almost happen, or maybe it could happen, but it's right on the edge. That's so much fun. And creating these really memorable characters like you did. The other character that I should mention, you guys, is the grandmother, who is a musician and want to be private investigator. So, you know, it's a winning recipe of rescue dog, of out of work main character slash stunt double slash, you know, all the slashes. And that's of course a nod to the novella I was just reading, slash this, slash that. but it's a really winning cast of characters. Now, when I was reading your Amazon bio, it did suggest though that your very own experience rescuing a dog may have helped inspire some of this series as well.
Yes, definitely. In the early days of the pandemic, I got my my rescue dog, Kit, also named Kit. And I just thought, first of all, the main character is very physical, very athletic, everything I'm not. And I thought Kit should have a character like her, like her only better, right? More. Yeah. She's very special. But I mean, my dog is special, of course, but her dog, Wit's dog, Kit, is even more special. And we find out in the second book in the series really how special and unique she is.
You know, I'm trying to remember where I read this, but, you know, before I get on with a guest, I internet stalk them for hours, you know, before we get on the show. And somewhere I read that you talking about if only we could really see into their past lives, you know, the things that had happened to them before we rescue them. And I think that's what I read you talking about. Yeah. And it really hit me as a mom of rescue dogs for so many years that they bring to the table these hurts. And unlike us, they can't open up about them, right? We have to somehow figure out how to help them past it with no words exchanged. So I feel that.
I say her tragic backstory, her unknown tragic backstory, because when I got her, I soon realized that she had problems with her back legs. And it turned out that vets think that she had been in a car accident and she hadn't gotten the treatment that she should have gotten. So I was able to give her all that. So,
yeah. That's wonderful. So it's a love story. It's a love story.
Yeah.
But in her Amazon, you guys should go out and read her Casey Walker Amazon bio where she talks about, I was thinking about what to write next and I decided this dog needed to earn its kibble or something like that. I had to come up with a series where the dog did some work. But it's very clear to me that you bring that sense of humor on every page. I would describe your writing style for this genre as, I don't want to say spare, but you are crisp and you're direct in the way you choose words. And you don't ever miss a chance for a zinger or to go funny. And so in writing funny, are you someone that your whole life people have said, Karen, you are hilarious? Or do you become more funny when you sit down and start writing a book?
I'm the person who's always been unintentionally funny. Like I say something and people, and I'm just observing and people go, oh, that's so funny, Karen. I'm like, huh? Yeah, I did that on purpose. I really found my voice after I was writing a story. It hasn't been published, but it's set in Ireland. And it's about this this very pompous mystery writer, best-selling, right? Famous mystery writer. And she's so full of herself that I had so much fun writing it. And it was like, that's where I found my voice.
I love it.
And it really was, it was like a new experience for me. So then when I started with Wit, I just like her voice, it's like she was talking through me, really. Like it wasn't me, it's her.
And that is the best feeling, isn't it? Where you really don't plan what a character is going to say. You just channel the character. You let them come through you. And it's so authentic when you do that. So
it really is. And she says everything that I would not say out loud. Like she's just, and it's so freeing. It's so fun to be able to say things that I would never.
Yeah. And you can still pretend like that you have more manners and couth than that. But in real life, it's like, she's speaking for me and I just have to smile and pretend that I would never say that. Yeah, she was cracking me up already. So the first book in this series, and all of the books are named after drinks. So like the prequel novella is Black Daiquiri. The first book in the series is Old Fashioned Murder. Did I get that right? I had one of those. I'm not looking at it. And if I get this wrong, I'm the worst host ever. Old Fashioned Murder. And then the next one is, I have it.
Hair of the Dog.
Hair of the Dog. And you've got one coming out in April, right?
Right. Triple Shot.
Triple Shot. Just the right amount for trouble to begin. Triple Shot. That's very cool. So are you still actively writing on your straight up cozy mystery series? Because you've got the Haunted Tea Room, then you've got the Bridal Shop.
I wrapped it up after it kind of sat there. I finally went, you know what? She needs a happy ending. So I wrapped it up. The fifth book gave her a happy ending. It felt really good. And so that was a completed series. The Haunted Tea Room, I planned to edit after number six. And then I got another idea. So I kind of kept writing. And people love that series. So as long as they keep loving it, then I'll probably keep writing it.
It's hard to stop when people are enjoying it. Do you find though that you ever are feeling exhausted of a book or a topic?
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I wound it up in book six. If somebody reads book six in that series, it will feel like the end of the series because that's what I'm meant to be. But then another ghost showed up right at the end. and then I got her away from the town and she started to travel and that kind of breathed new life it, at least for me. It you know, made it fun again to write.
It has to be fun, or the readers can tell it's not fun. It's especially awesome. when you write as funny as you do, that you have to feel a lightness of soul. You know what I mean? Like, I'm approaching this with a heart that is open to being in this chair, to talking to these characters. But it's super hard. I've got a series right now that I plan to keep writing, but I took a year and a half off from it because I just wasn't finding the joy. And I don't know how you picture series in your head, but I write in like 3 book arcs. Like, I try to take something that's happening to a character to 3 books, and then it feels like it's wrapped up to me. So if I write number 4, you know, I've got 2 more. If I write number 7, I've got 2 more. If I write number 10, I've got 2 more, because it's in 3 book arcs. And my next one is number 9. And I'm trying to decide right now if I've got it in me to keep going. And I'm really inspired that you found and chose to wrap up a series that people were enjoying with your bridal shop, because it felt right to you. It's hard to do. It's hard to make people disappointed.
Yes, it is. It is.
Where in this stream, I take it, was either during the pandemic or post-pandemic. If you can hear the joyous screams, that's the 2-year-old in the other room. He is literally running up and down the hall going, I take it was either during or post-pandemic that you started Arrow and with Whit and Kit.
Yes.
Did you keep writing? Go ahead.
Oh, I actually started that at the end of the pandemic before I started the Haunted Tea Room.
Really?
And yes, a friend of mine said, oh, this is great. You've got to traditionally publish this.
Yeah.
And so I kind of set it aside and kind of like, okay, let me figure that out. But while I'm doing that, let me get this fun little tea room book, right?
Yeah.
And so the Old Fashioned Murder actually was written first. So I just kind of sat on it. And then I realized I do not have the patience. And I do not like rejection. So I said, no, but traditional publishing isn't for me. I just couldn't do it.
You got to have a lot of patience, and you have to be willing to give up control and do what you're told. If you're good at those things and good at writing, then.
Do what I'm told? No, thank you. I did that for, 50 years in a career. I don't know.
Exactly. Us women that are 50 plus have to, put our fist up and say, no more. We take charge. No more of this. No more of this at all. So you'd started Arrow, you sat on it, you changed your mind. And so you're still actively writing Haunted Tea Room and Arrow. At this point, those are still, so people can get a satisfactory read through the end with Bridal Shop, but with the others, you're still in the game with them, so they can know that more are coming. Okay. So everybody hears that, right? You can go. And if you want to finish series, you can start the Bridal Shop. But I can tell you that with just reading the novella, I told Karen that as soon as we get off this call, I will probably have a 4-month-old in my lap, and I'm going to be reading the book I was working on out of the series, because it was so much fun. And now with you, writing is for you, it is a full-time, this is what you do. You write, you authorpreneur it all the time, right? That's what I'm, Do you have any part of the writing journey as an authorpreneur that you are surprised at how much you love or surprised at how much you hate? Either question is valid.
I'm surprised that I'm writing book 16 right now, and I'm surprised that it's still hard, right? When does it get to be easy?
Yes, exactly. And sometimes it's like, I thought I was good at this on the last book, but apparently I'm not on,
Yes, you too, huh?
Gosh, it's terrible. I went through about a year and a half recently where I was convinced that I just wasn't cut out to do this. And then I wrote 85,000 words last month. Literally, I'm like, where did that come from? I was excited again. It was like being a kid. So I can relate to that a lot. And do you, which part of the writing process do you find you enjoy the most? Are you like a first draft creative urge person? Are you a rewrite, let's make it perfect person? You like the research? What is the piece that thrills you?
Well, I annoy people because I am a pretty much a one one draft. I learned that I hate revisions. So I slow down and try and get the first draft as close to what I want. And then it just needs cleaning up. So the plot is the way it should be. You know, I might have to add some descriptions or do some things to kind of make it more polished.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty much 95% ready to go. Yeah. I hate to say revisions. Some people love that. I hate it. Really,
when you when you're sitting down to start a book, how do you prepare for that to go well? Do you outline? Are you just methodically taking it chapter by chapter and writing as it comes, or do you kind of already know where it's going?
I have learned that if I sit down and I can't and I don't know what to write, I go to my sofa and I take the spiral notebook that we all us authors have an unlimited supply of, right?
Yeah.
And then I just start writing ideas and then go, well, I'll write something down and go, but it could be funnier, right? What's funnier or what could happen next? What would be something really fun? And with Wit, because she's a former gymnast and a stunt double for the studios, I always have to have something. She has to jump off a building or scale the side of a hotel or, you know, or get chased by a murderer, something like that. And so that's, you know, throw that in is really fun. Just to, and then you have to have the dog, because people always go in my critique group, they're like, where's the dog? You forgot about the dog.
I have to go back in sometimes and I like make notes to myself. Don't forget the dog. Cause I always have a dog. Right. And it's like, okay, now on this pass, I have to have the dog and the dog has to, you know, have a role, but I forget the dog too. okay. So we do this speed round, and that was actually kind of one of the questions I normally ask in speed round, but we do this speed round where I ask authors basically the same kinds of questions so that readers, listeners, viewers can get to know the ways in which they're the same and the ways in which they're different. So because I am in Galveston and don't have all my at home stuff, I do not have my cheat sheet. So I'm going off memory of what my speed round questions are. And the first one I have for you is, are you a sushi or a pizza person? If you had to pick
sushi,
you're Southern California, right? I mean, I can almost tell based on where people grew up, whether or not they've had a good sushi experience and thus will be willing to entertain the idea of sushi. Yeah, I grew up in Texas and Wyoming. So for me, sushi is smells bad, right? It's like came out of the back of the truck somewhere. If you were to picture your perfect place to write, where would you be? And what's your go-to writing outfit? Like, how do you find your vibe?
I would be in Ireland in a little cottage overlooking the ocean with I just wear t-shirts, because long sleeve t-shirts usually, because I heard that people like Steve Jobs and Barack Obama would wear the same thing, pretty much the same thing every day. So they didn't have to make any more decisions than they had to. And that leaves your mind open for all the decisions you need to make. But that's where I would be. I'd have a nice warm Irish wool sweater on and view of the ocean.
Yeah, you'd have a cup of tea, I bet. I bet you would have a cup of tea.
Of course.
Okay, so this isn't on the list of things, but what is your go-to tea? Are you an Earl Grey? Are you
black tea with rose? I get it. Yeah, it's just delightful. But other than that, day to day, it's generally green tea or black tea. Black tea usually with a little milk, but yeah.
I've been really on a matcha kick. I do matcha all the time and mix it with things. And then I also make a ginger tea myself. Mince the ginger and boil it and put everything that tastes bad in it. Anyway, but I've never tried black tea with rose. Is that something that you special order? Cause if so, I'll get it from you.
Yeah. I'll, I keep it nearby. It's always within arm's reach. It's Tao Tea Rose Petal Black. It's so good.
Okay. I'm putting on that. Now, if you weren't drinking tea and you were out for happy hour, or if Wit was out for happy hour, since we're talking Arrow Investigations, what would the two of you be ordering?
My favorite drink, just anywhere, is a Grey Witch at the Cauldron in Buena Park. It's right across the street from Knott's Berry Farm. And it's a cool kind of, they have witchy vibes, and it's just a very cool place. And they have this drink that it's based on a French 75. So it's like some gin and some liqueur and some and champagne. So it's so good.
And it's thematic too. I mean, it's the whole experience. You're in there and it's witchy and the drink's witchy. And that's very cool. I need to find that place. And if you were to be something other than an author, a dream avocation for a day, what would it be?
Oh, I do.
Because I would have been Taylor Swift. That would have been mine. I'd still trade for that.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't know. I can't always think of things quick like, well, actually, yes, I would be Wit and be a stunt woman and not be clumsy me that trips over everything.
So you wrote her to be the piece of you that you could imagine into reality. That's very cool.
And could say whatever I wanted without somehow getting it.
Yeah, exactly. Without people's eyebrows going up to their forehead. Did she just say that? I love it. And if you were to win the lottery and you were told, here you've got all this money now, what are some of the things that you would spend it on first?
Well, there'd have to be a big party, right? For all my friends, because I just love to just, rent a big place, have champagne and cocktails and just have a big party and spoil yummy food, everything. I would buy, if it was a good lottery, then, because you know what housing is like in Los Angeles, I'd buy a duplex or like a house with a back house, so like in the back house my daughter and my granddaughter could live in the front house, and a beautiful garden. Like, that would be lovely.
I think that sounds like a pretty good plan myself. I had already asked you the question about first drafts or rewrites, and you're right. Probably every writer in here is hating you because of your answer. But I have one more question about that. And that is, one of my favorite books on writing that I've read was called One Pass Manuscript Revision. Is that a book you're familiar with? I cannot remember the name of the author right now. It may be Darcy something. I'll look it up. But it really, for me, was a game changer because it was the idea of write it right the first time and just have notes to yourself that you go back in and fill in. And like this last month with this book draft that I wrote, that was an 85,000 word draft. That was what I was shooting for, was I didn't have much time left for the rewrite. I didn't quite make it. I'm going to have to go back and do some revision. But as you were saying that, I was thinking, okay, I'm inspired for more mental discipline, right? Because it takes so much discipline to say, I'm going to get this right. I'm not going to be sloppy. I'm not going to be in a rush. I'm going to get it down and get it right. And I'm a little inspired by that, Karen.
The challenge is it's easy to get stuck when your perfectionism will come in. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to have a balance there. Not like, this doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be coherent. And the plot has to be, it makes sense.
So I should have been saying hello to people as they said hi to us. The commenters have been coming in on Facebook. Chantel said, sounds perfect. That was in relation to the things you would do with your bazillions of lottery winning dollars. And we've also heard from Charlene, who said hi and that she thinks your books sound like fun reads. We've heard from Bella, who said hello. And is this Emily? Emily Davis. I'm going to say Emily. Emily. So thanks for tuning in, you guys, today. This has been so much fun. And it's going to be even more fun when we are off the air and I go back to reading the Arrow Mysteries, which is what I'm going to do tonight. So this has been a treat. And everybody, give a warm goodbye virtually through the internet to Karen. Karen, thanks again for being a guest on the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. Great meeting you and seeing you.
Bye, everybody. Well, bye, Karen. We'll say bye to Karen first. And then you know what I have to do. I have to go through the obligatory, this is and has been a solely owned and copyrighted production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network and the show that is a digital media group broadcast in 153 countries to over 4 million listeners and viewers, of which I hope you guys are proud to be a part of, because we do put on some really great shows for you guys. Be sure that you go out to my website. A couple of things that you can find there. One is my new releases, Detective Delaney Pace, Her Silent Bones, Her Hidden Grave, and Her Last Cry. You can get those on Kindle Unlimited if you're an ebook reader and are a subscriber to Kindle Unlimited. And if you could also turn to the tab for the show, you'll find my upcoming shows, my past shows, and you'll be able to know the books and the authors that I'm going to be talking about and to next, so that you can read ahead like me and get to know them. And you can find all of my books out there on the website as well, which is pretty cool. When you're me, I'm highly, highly, highly happy to recommend Karen/Casey Walker's books, and it won't hurt your feelings if you read mine as well. And Chantel's going to go out and get all of Karen's books, which I think it's a dang good idea. So you guys, it's been fun. I will see you next time. And until then, go out and read a good book, why don't you? Bye, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today on Crime and Wine, chats with crime fiction authors and Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll check back in with us next time for more thrills, suspense, and stories that will mystify, sometimes horrify, and always leave you wanting more.